Her name is Jade. I met her while on my vicarage, my internship year at a church in California. She was a junior high student in our church's day school. Jade's mother had placed her in our Lutheran day school for the extra attention and small classes so that she might be able to improve her grades. That was probably more important to Jade's mother than the fact that there would be daily religion class, chapels, and other Christian teaching. Jade's mother probably also didn't realize that the religion class would be taught by Vicar Ben, an intern with no experience in the classroom. I struggled those first days of school with teaching the 7th and 8th grade religion class because the students kept talking and not listening. On one of those first days of school, after I had finished teaching the class, Jade came up to me and she apologized that she was talking to Stephanie during class. Jade told me how everything about Christianity was new to her. That she had never even gone to church before. She didn't know anything about the Bible, and so during class, she was just talking to Stephanie because she was asking Stephanie to help her find things in the Bible. Well, as the school year continued, Jade began to really do well in religion class. She really started to understand what the Bible is all about and who Jesus Christ is. And I began to understand what Jade was going through in her life. She had never really known her father. She and her mother were living with her mother's boyfriend, who also had children. Partway through the year, her mother and her boyfriend broke up and he moved out. Jade had a lot going on at home, and she needed compassion and comfort. She needed to be built up in love. That fall, we spent our class time talking about the Gospel of Mark. And I told my junior high class that they could find comfort in the book of Mark. And as we learned about the different events in the life of Jesus, we found comfort in knowing that Jesus had gone through a lot of terrible things, so he knows what life is like for us. We also found comfort in knowing that Jesus said that our sins could be forgiven. Jade began to find that comfort in her own life. Jade, who at the beginning of the year had never heard about Jesus Christ, was now able to see that Jesus didn't just teach us what was wrong with our lives. She knows that Jesus also taught us about forgiveness and how we can come to him and know that all of our mistakes are forgiven. But when we got to Mark chapter 10, I started to worry that Jade wasn't going to think it was such a comforting book. You heard it this morning. Jesus says, anyone who divorces his wife and marries another woman commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another man, she commits adultery. This is a hard teaching. God does not like divorce. This was going to be a hard teaching for Jade to hear. Jade, whose mother was divorced, whose father wasn't involved in her life, whose mother was living with her boyfriend, who was also divorced. How could I teach that Jesus thinks divorce is a sin without making Jade feel like God hates her parents? I told the class that divorce is adultery because God intends marriage to last for the rest of our lives, yet divorce is permitted if there's abuse, an affair, or neglect. Jesus wants us to understand, however, that divorce is still a sin. That's why he speaks this way. In some cases, though, we may have to choose that sin over another sin, which would have worse consequences. And I kept telling the class, and always, 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 we are forgiven by the grace of Jesus Christ. I left that class that day worried that Jade's inquisitive little eyes and her sad little mouth wouldn't find comfort in God anymore. Now, while we were going through the Gospel of Mark in class, we were working on writing a commentary. That was kind of our assignment. It was a little book written by the class that explains different sections of Mark. And the assignments asked the students to write paragraphs to put in this book. I got Jade's assignment back, and we put it all together in a book at the end of the year, and I got Jade's assignment back on Mark chapter 10. This is what she wrote. The section of Mark about divorce gives me comfort because my parents have been divorced. The reason it gives me comfort is because I know my parents will both be forgiven for their sin. It also gives me comfort because it's stated that God will always forgive us. She had taken comfort. I worried a lot about whether she would take comfort, yet she heard comfort in God's word, yet she knew the brokenness. An article I read in trying to think about this text this week, an article I read about Mark 10, it was written by a family ministry expert, and she said, "A broken marriage falls short of God's will, but this is true of any sin." And looking back 20 years ago at what Jade wrote in seventh grade religion class, it seems like Jade had heard that also. A broken marriage falls short of God's will, but this is true of any sin. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, there is forgiveness for all sin. And as you can see from Jade's story, a sin like divorce has consequences for a lot of others. It's a sin like so many others. Our sins disrupt not just our lives, not just our life between us and God. It disrupts community and family and togetherness and serving others and loving others and discipleship. All sins do this. Jesus is telling this story about divorce, and it's in here so that we understand the importance of marriage. But when you look at this section, you have to remember that all sins have this disruptive power in our lives. Take a look at the quote, the page 10 in your bulletin. On page 10 in your bulletin, there's a quote from an article about God's grace and divorce. And you got a couple of blanks there, and I want you to leave them as blanks. All right, I'm going to read the quote as it is in the article, as it applies to marriage and divorce. But I want you to leave the blanks there because then you can insert any sin. And the quote works pretty well. "By grace, people who have failed at marriage and who have divorced, for the worst or most trivial of reasons, may be redeemed from guilt. People who have destroyed marriages through their adulteries can be pardoned. People whose hearts and behaviors have been cold, hard, and unfeeling can be made whole. And this is by forgiveness and renewal from God, not trying to unring the bell of harm already done." In other words, not trying to get this all fixed and back together. It's renewal through God. "What the law cannot do, grace accomplishes. What the law cannot undo, Christ's blood forgives. The redemptive presence of the Holy Spirit can sanctify, make holy our brokenness." That's law gospel. The original quote applied to marriage and divorce and adultery, but you could insert any kind of thing into those blanks and it still works. See, like by grace, people who have failed at friendship and who have shunned a friend for the worst or most trivial reasons, may be redeemed from guilt. That works. The next one, people who have destroyed their careers through their crimes or greediness can be pardoned. You can insert any kind of sins into those blanks and see how God's power of forgiveness, how his power of redemption comes to redeem our lives. But now back to Mark chapter 10. The Pharisees were trying to trap him. They said, it says test him. This is a test, but they're trying to trap him. And Jesus disrupts them. He won't let them be content with divorce, which in those days only empowered men. and left the woman powerless. It was described this way in the early centuries. It said, "He that desires to be divorced from his wife for any cause whatsoever, let him in writing give assurance that he will never use her again as his wife anymore, so then she is free to marry another husband." Jesus, knowing knowing their own selfish reasons for asking about divorce, he knew their selfishness and why they wanted to keep this privilege. That's why they were testing him. They wanted to keep their privileges. Jesus points out that this arrangement for divorce made back in the days of Exodus, it arose out of hardness of heart. This is why Jesus is speaking so forcefully about divorce being a sin. He's poking at the Pharisees. He's saying at the heart of the issue is the hardness of our hearts. They were looking for excuses. They were looking for a way to make it all work out, and Jesus wasn't going to let them. The Pharisees weren't really coming to him about upholding the sanctity of marriage. They were looking for a way to do what they wanted. And they certainly weren't worried about upholding justice to protect those who are most vulnerable, because in that day, the most vulnerable were unmarried women and children. And notice here what Jesus does. Jesus puts them in their place and says, you can't just give a woman a certificate of divorce and think that that's okay. That's not just. And you can't just send the children away. That's not just. He has come to bring love and grace and forgiveness to the most vulnerable. Jesus is saying, your hardness of heart desires to parse the law, to pull apart God's law, make it into a list of specific regulations, looking for a loophole through which you can drag your hard heart. Looking for a loophole where we can drag our hard hearts. That's what it is. When we say to God, like, well, God, you got a lot of rules. You got a lot of laws. How could anybody ever live up to them? God, why would you design it all this way? Isn't there some way that, you know, some of what we do is okay? When we approach that about any kind of sin, it's because we're looking for a loophole to drag our hard heart. I know it's a sin, but, you know, it's okay in this case. We're trying to drag our hearts through a loophole. And when we do that, we're missing out on what God is showing us. God is showing us our sin. That's true. But he's not saying, okay, get through this loophole and then you'll be okay. He's saying there is no loophole, but there is grace and forgiveness in Jesus Christ. Don't look for a loophole. Look for a cross-shaped hole. So that when we're confronted with our sins, whatever kind of sins, we are confronted with the hardness of our hearts. And then we see how Jesus, his heart, it remains open to us to bring us forgiveness. It was a challenge working on thinking about this week, as you probably can imagine. And it was a challenge and strange in some sort of way, because I had started to think about this sermon back on Monday. And Monday, I spent most of the day in family court here in Lake County, sitting with someone who was waiting for a hearing that didn't come until the very end of the day. And just sitting there to support her. And all day, what I saw in all these squabbles and divorce proceedings and orders of protection and all these things, what I saw all day was hardness of heart. And the court, the judge and the attorneys and everything, spending a lot of time trying to help usually just two people recognize their own hardness of heart. Now, the court is not a church, and the court can't just bring grace and forgiveness. But all day I kept seeing this. But then in seeing it, you start to recognize your own hardness of heart. You think, well, how could those two people be arguing about such trivial little things? And then you remember the own ways that you argue about trivial little things. And so go back to the quote again on page 10. It's a prayer for the people that were in court that day. It's a prayer for all of us. By grace, we who have failed at and who have, for the worst or most trivial reasons, may be redeemed from guilt. People who have destroyed through their can be pardoned. People whose hearts and behaviors have been cold, hard, and unfeeling can be made whole. And this is by forgiveness and renewal from God, not by trying to unring the bell of harm already done. What the law cannot do, grace accomplishes. What the law cannot undo, Christ's blood forgives. The redemptive presence of the Holy Spirit can sanctify, make holy our brokenness. So do we uphold the sanctity of marriage? Yes. Do we desire to uphold justice for all people, including those most vulnerable? Yes. But do we come out of here guns blazing because now we have the words of Jesus in our pocket and he said, you know, be careful, you sinners? No, we don't go out with guns blazing because we see that his words hit us directly also. It is the hardness of our heart. And so our prayer is that by grace, God would help us to recognize our hardness of heart, that he would soften our hearts, that we would see his forgiveness, and that we would go out with the truth of his word, but also to bring his grace and forgiveness to all people that we will ever meet. God, forgive us for our hardness of heart. Soften our hearts. Help us to receive grace from you and then share that grace with others. Amen.